Welcome back to the Schwab Network. Futures down a tad here this morning with Bitcoin's ripping, mixed signals in risk assets. Dollar's a bit firm. Bonds not doing a whole lot. Jim Bianco's with us, president of Bianco Research. Jim, welcome back. Good morning. What do you think drives the bus this week? Does inflation still rank number one, or after a little chop in NVIDIA, is that all that really matters?
I think they're 1 and 1A right now. You know, the inflation numbers are going to set the tone for whether or not the Fed is going to cut rates. Wall Street wants a rate cut. Wall Street needs a rate cut. And the Fed is telling you that give me some weak data and I'll give you a rate cut. And we haven't been giving the Fed weak data. So the next data point is tomorrow. 0.4 on headline, 0.3 on core is what is expected. And we'll see what it comes in. But that would be one, or 1A would be NVIDIA. NVIDIA has been an extraordinary performance in the stock and what it meant for the indexes. As you went to commercial, I noticed you had your boards with the S&P, the Russell, the NASDAQ. You should have put NVIDIA on that board. Right. It's half the NASDAQ 100's gain this year, half. Wow. It's one third of the S&P 500's gain this year.
Extraordinary.
And Friday, it had a big red candle, bearish engulfing pattern, big giant outside day on monster volume, which is typically what the technicians would call a reversal. The speculation in this stock has been high. If this stock hits some kind of a short-term or even an intermediate-term peak on Friday, everything all the way down to the S&P 500 is going to be affected by it. So NVIDIA and the CPI are kind of 1 and 1A for the week.
You've got a good chart putting together the contributions to the NASDAQ gain, highlighting NVIDIA's big role. Obviously, that's a good thing if the company keeps doing great. It's a bad thing if they don't, right? It basically just kind of changes the experience of the market to a way that we haven't really experienced in a very, very long time, many ever, where it's just going to be higher beta to one name. I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, you know, as far as concentration goes, there's some metrics that you can look at for concentration. The one that I prefer is the top five stocks in the S&P 500 are 26% of the index. The last time it was that large was 1964, 60 years ago, when it was a couple of, you know, monopolies like AT&T and that were driving their concentration that high. But usually when the market is very concentrated, it's the end of the move. One of the reasons it's the end of the move is it's a signal there's not enough money to lift up the whole market. There's only enough money to lift up a handful of stocks. And those handful of stocks go and the rest of the market just sits there. And that's why Wall Street needs the Fed to cut rates, maybe end quantitative tightening, get the money pump going, because we don't have enough money to keep everything going, you know, from the stock market to the foreign stock markets that are going up to Bitcoin to gold at all-time highs. We need the Fed to start, you know, pumping in money. That's why I still think they're very important. I know everybody's trying to say the Fed doesn't matter anymore. Usually it matters right about the time that they say it doesn't.
Why do you describe it as not enough money, Jim? Take me through that. What do you mean?
$44 trillion stock market is what we're talking about right now in a $30 trillion economy, or $28 trillion economy to be more exact. It's 180% the size of the economy. It's almost two times the economy. The sheer trillions of dollars that it would take to lift all the 3,000 stocks in the Russell, to use that one example, is, I don't think we have it right now. That's why we have concentration. We're all piling into AI. We're all piling into speculative things like Bitcoin, maybe even gold you could throw in to the speculative thing. But what about stocks like the second half of the Russell 2000? Kind of those bottom 1,000 companies in the Russell 2000 employ 12 million people. Those stocks aren't doing anything. They're down on the year. If you take the four, the fabulous four, Amazon, Meta, Microsoft, and NVIDIA out of the NASDAQ 100, the other 96 stocks are down on the year.
It's crazy.
As a group. There's not enough money to take those 96 stocks plus those four to go up. And that's what usually happens. We saw this in 73. We saw this in 2000 when we had big kick. We saw this in the late 60s when we saw big concentrated periods in the market. That's why I think there's this desire or need for the Fed to give us more money, to cut rates, to stop quantitative tightening, to help feed the beast. But it's gotten very large right now relative to the size of the economy. Doesn't mean it has to peak this week. It could still peak, you know, in a year or in 2 years, or it could be peaking this week. But this is typically the action you see, you know, to use a baseball metaphor, in the eighth or ninth inning, not in the middle of the game or the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it's fascinating the way the last 3 weeks it turned into this kind of embrace of more broad participation and everything, because it could have been argued that this was just chasing growth in a logical way, piling your money into where there's growth. But basically, since gold got this big rip when this month started, Bitcoin breaks through the highs, now the Russell trying to take part. Why do you think that timing has been the way it is, these last kind of 10, 12 days that shifted into this more kind of broad embrace that would seemingly reek of the conviction that, as you put it, more money's coming? Well, why do you think that we've gotten this confidence injected in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I would actually argue, you know, it goes all the way back to October, but you're right. Since around late January, it really accelerated. Because since late October, just to give you one metric, the S&P's only had three down weeks since, you know, for the last 18. It's only had three down weeks. Now, one of them happened to be last week by a slight margin. But what I think has happened is a combination of two things. The Fed said they're going to cut. They keep telling us they're going to cut, even though we keep pushing the cuts off. You know, it's not going to be one in March. It's not going to be one in May. But don't worry, they're going to cut in June. And the economy continues to produce okay numbers. And, you know, NVIDIA, which is the most important stock, blew away expectations yet again. So what I think people are looking at, the economy's good. Everybody's got speculative juices. And the Fed's going to feed the beast. Let's go, you know, to quote Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's what we seem to be doing right now, is we seem to be going. Now, like I said, usually this is the end of a cycle type of movement. It doesn't mean that the cycle peaked on Friday. Maybe it did. But I would caution that this is kind of end of cycle type of action. And yes, that cycle could be months or another year, or it could be days. But we're playing with something that seems to be at the end of the road here. If we're unless, of course, the Fed does feed the beast, and it does cut rates sooner rather than later. Maybe tomorrow's CPI number is a miss. And I'll point out there hasn't been a miss in CPI for the last 5 months. So maybe this one will be a miss, and that will feed the beast. Otherwise, I think that this is going to be more of a narrow rally. You know, people in QQQ will be excited, but you'll point out that one stock is half your gains, four stocks is all your gains, and they shrug their shoulders until those four stocks roll over, and then they'll have a different attitude about it.
Do you think that last week's testimony to Congress by the Fed chair was dovish on the margin? Is that adding into hopes that it's a conversation of when they'll cut, not if?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a tale of two tapes on that. I think that, the bond market heard the Fed kind of saying, we're going to cut when we get softer data. And the bond market's looking around going, well, where's this softer data coming from? And I think everybody else heard, we're going to cut, and then didn't hear the qualifier after that. And then they said, okay, just go, let's go. They're going to cut. Well, when are they going to cut? Don't worry. They told us that they are going to cut. And so they're going. But the bond market, more is on the line of, okay, you know, that qualifier. When are we going to get that weaker data? You know, Friday's payroll report, we tried to spin into weaker data, but we were still left with, it was over 200,000 jobs. That is not a weak economy if we're still cranking out 200,000 payroll jobs, even after all the revisions downward and everything else. Those are still very healthy numbers and gives the Fed very little room to move in the near term. That's why March and May have the March and May FOMC meetings don't have a cut priced in. June has a cut priced in, but that's three payroll and three CPI numbers away. So a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, it's true. As we've got a lot of time here, and to your point, inflation data have not been soft for a couple months now, more than that. So pretty much since middle of last year, basically, kind of ironically, when we started ramping up with risk assets. Jim, real fast, sentiment-wise, how do you measure it? Is it extreme, or are there still bears to be won over?
No, it's getting pretty frothy. We had a Barron's cover, you know, about being bullish. We had an Economist cover about being bullish. If you look at the newsletter writers, they're at multi-year highs in the amount of bullishness that they're projecting as well, too. The thing about sentiment is it can tell you, again, this is like late inning stuff, but is it telling you that we're two outs in the ninth inning or we're in the bottom of the seventh, just like what I was saying before? No, it can't be that precise. But the sentiment numbers that you're seeing, the covers that you're seeing, is more late inning kind of action. And I think people need to appreciate that that's where we're at, unless something changes the equation. And that something would be that the Fed starts cutting rates and ending QT and starts feeding it.
Okay. Jim, good conversation to start this week. Thank you very much for your perspective, as always.
Thank you.